Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
We're going to get into God's Word, so if you have your Bibles, you can get those opened up. And I will give you the reference here in a minute. We'll get to that soon. But just have them ready to go when we get time for where we are landing today. We are starting a new series called How to Have a Merry Christmas. Who wants to have a Merry Christmas this year? All right? How many of you have ever had a year where Christmas just was awful? Yeah? You can probably think of a few. I've had some sour Christmases in the past. We all want to have a Merry Christmas. We all want to have the joy, the happiness, the good presents, the good whatever it is that you do as a family. We want everything to be perfect when we're planning it all out. We want to have a Merry Christmas, and yet sometimes that doesn't happen. So how can we be prepared to have a Merry Christmas? That's what we're going to be talking about for this month. So, in my experience, there seems to be two different groups of people when it comes to how we approach Christmas. There are people who approach Christmas really excited about the presents, about snow. Who likes snow? Okay, who hates snow? Boo. Snow haters, be gone. They get excited about all the celebrations with family, the meals, the excitement. There's awe, there's wonder. And Christmas just feels like there's just no better time in the year. It's the best season of the year, and they love it, and they experience joy every time Christmas comes around. They've got Mariah Carey playing in November, right? Like, they are just excited for Christmas. Then we have this second group of people. And all they seem to think about is, how am I going to afford all this? Oh my goodness, my calendar is full of all these different events. How am I going to do them all? I got to clean the house because company's coming. It's got to look perfect. I got to cook the turkey perfectly. I got all this baking I got to do. It's all got to be good. We're traveling to see family. We're traveling here and there. I got to wrap all these presents. My wrapping job is horrible. I got to tape it all around with duct tape. I'm running out of money with Christmas. Oh man, like, Canada Post is on strike. What about the shipping times? I ordered that thing on Amazon. Is it going to get here in time? Oh man, there's traffic in Moncton at the Costco parking lot. How am I going to get there? And oh, I'm so busy. It's just so chaotic. I hate Christmas. We got these two different groups. People who experience the joy with Christmas and the others who find Christmas to just be a burden and to be an awful experience. How many of you in the room are group one? Let's just be honest. Let's just take some time to self-evaluate. Okay, how many of us are maybe group two? And how many of us maybe fluctuate over the years? Maybe last year you were group one, this year you're feeling you're group two. Maybe this year you're group one, but last year you're group two. Like, it can fluctuate. But sometimes we just find ourselves in these patterns of thought, these patterns of behavior where it's like, oh, Christmas is this great and glorious thing that I love, or it's this horrible thing that I detest. How can I have this Merry Christmas when Christmas just is chaotic to me and I do not want to experience it that way? You see, for people who are in that group too, that doesn't sound like a Merry Christmas, does it? So how can we, who are in that second group of people, get our joy back, get that awe and wonder back when it comes to Christmas? I'm going to tell you right up front, the answer is not more presents and all these other things that tend to happen around the Christmas season, the commercialization. That's not where I'm going with this message, just so we're clear, okay? How do we get this Merry Christmas? How do we get this joy back? In Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, and specifically in the laws God gave to the Israelite people through Moses. He instituted something called Sabbath rest. They were to rest once a week. They were to rest once every 7 years, once every 50 years. They were to be no work done. They were to rest and enjoy what God gave them, what God had made through the land. They were to rest and be with God. The Jewish festivals that God also gave the Israelites had these Sabbath rests built into them as well. It was so that when a time of celebration came around, they would be postured to rest and reflect and be with God, rather than scurrying around and doing the work and doing all the busy things that they do all year round. These festivals were meant to celebrate and remember who God was and what he promised to them. When we get to the New Testament, we see often in Jesus' own life and ministry where he removes himself from the crowd and he goes off to be alone, sometimes on a mountain, to be with God, to be in prayer with God, to rest. You see, the Bible very clearly highlights that in order for us to have this time to celebrate, to have a place where we can be with God and experience joy with God, that there has to be rest. That there has to be, I don't like to use the word isolation, but a drawing away from what is happening in the rest of our lives and the rest of our world and say, okay, I need to be with God. Just be with him. And then we get to this interesting story found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Here's the reference for today. So let's open it up. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This is not a Christmas story. There's no baby Jesus or goats or angels and shepherds in this story. This isn't really a Christmas story, and yet what we're going to learn from this today is going to shape how we experience Christmas this year if we apply it to our lives. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha." I feel like he had that kind of tone. "Martha, Martha. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This isn't a Christmas story, but we kind of see these two groups being characterized through Mary and Martha. You have Mary, who is like people in that first group, where they are just being with Jesus. They are experiencing joy and awe and wonder. There is an excitement about being with God. And then you have Martha, who really characterizes those of us in that second group where we're just so busy with everything going on in our lives that we are distracted from Jesus, who is sitting in the room teaching. Mary and Martha have two different perspectives on how to approach Jesus. And they can show us how we approach Jesus, how we approach Christmas, how we approach Jesus through the Christmas season. That when we look at Martha, we can see that being distracted and scurrying around and all the busyness is going to distract us from Jesus. And for Mary to sit at Jesus' feet, to be with him, to rest with him, to experience the joy and awe and wonder, is the good portion that Jesus points out. Sometimes we might feel tempted to look at this story and want to justify Martha's actions and defend her. Well, come on. Like, Martha, she's got all these people in her house, and they're probably hungry, so she's got to do all this work. Of course she should be upset that Mary's not helping her and she's doing all this work. Let's just call it what it is. Everything Martha is doing is a distraction from what Jesus is doing in the home. These are not just chores. They are not just tasks. This is not just a busy season in her life. This is not just a simple to-do list. This is a distraction for her. If we make the same mistake at Christmas time, if we allow ourselves to be distracted by the busyness, by the shopping, by the events on the calendar, by the whatever it is, if we get distracted, we'll miss Christ at Christmas. If you get distracted, you will miss Christ at Christmas. You see, this season is all about Him, amen? Okay. He is the reason for the season, as it's often said. And yet, too many of us get distracted during this season by the commercialization, the shopping, the baking, the cooking. And some of these things, they're good things. They're not bad things. It's not like they're evil within themselves. But they are distractions. These are things that can get in the way of us experiencing the joy, the awe, the wonder, the rest, the being with Jesus, as Mary is experiencing here in this story. It's kind of like this. This past week, I did some renovations to my house on my bathroom, okay? Did a bathroom renovation. Still working on it, by the way, so that's fun. I did all my demolition last Saturday, and the hope was, okay, I'm going to get all this demolition done, and then it's just a simple matter of putting up drywall, putting in the plumbing, putting in the tub, putting in all the fixtures, putting down the flooring, and we're done, right? When I finished my demolition, I made a discovery that there was an illegal electrical splice in my ceiling. I don't know if that makes sense to anyone in the room, but basically that needed to be fixed. And so I had to get an electrician in, and they had to do some stuff. And there was some worry and concern in me that said, well, what if they pull on that line and discover that there's something else and something more, and actually the whole house needs to be redone? There was a temptation in me to ignore that issue and just go, drywall, fixed, problem solved. But no, I had to get it fixed. So they came in. Luckily, it was just that one spot. Nothing more needed to be done. Okay? So that's good. But imagine this. You're doing a renovation to your home, and you have all these things you want to have done, all the beautiful fixtures and the right color paint and all this and that, and then you'd make a discovery like this one, and you go, well, I'm not going to make that a priority. I'm just going to ignore that, and I'm going to busy myself with all the other nice things, and then down the road, that arcs, and the house catches fire, and it's all burnt and gone, right? That's no good. Or take this as another example. Suppose you go to the doctor. You got a rash on your arm, and you go, oh, that's itchy. Better deal with that. You get your rash checked out, and then the doctor tells you, hey, by the way, you also have cancer, so you need to go get chemo, and here's some ointment for the rash you had. Okay, I'll just take the rash, and I'll just ignore and not prioritize the cancer. I'm just going to deal with this one thing and ignore the rest. That's not going to end well. When we neglect or ignore the bigger priorities, life falls apart, right? Houses burn down, cancer doesn't get treated, families fall apart. We miss Christ at Christmas. He is the bigger priority. We cannot neglect or ignore the priority of resting and being with Him. If we prioritize the other stuff, which is, again, good stuff. Nothing wrong with buying presents, nothing wrong with baking cookies, nothing wrong with eating turkey. All good stuff, right? But if we prioritize that over Christ, over being with him, we miss him. This is the problem that Martha is making. She is prioritizing other things over Jesus. She is neglecting and ignoring Jesus while focusing on other things in her home. Mary, on the other hand, she would have fixed the electrical issue. She would have gone to the doctor. She is being with Jesus. She is focused on the right priorities. She is not neglecting or ignoring them. This is not just a good advice, nice thing to do. Oh yeah, not get distracted. Make Jesus a priority. Okay. That sounds nice. I'll try and balance it out. No, let me just take this a step deeper. There is an enemy at work. His name is Satan. He is at work to distract each and every one of us from being with Jesus. Do you agree with that? Okay. He does this subtly and in ways we don't always expect. There are times where we think, I've got it all together. My spiritual life is secure. I'm healthy. I'm doing well. So I'm going to lean over here and focus on some other things because it's all good over here with Jesus and I. And over time, we slowly start drifting away. We slowly start getting distracted. We slowly start getting pulled away, and we start missing out on what he has for us. There is an enemy at work trying to distract us from Jesus. The enemy wants us to be like Martha and be distracted. The enemy doesn't want us to be like Mary and be with Jesus. We got to be on guard. Again, this isn't just good advice. This is spiritual work. This is a priority. This is important stuff. So if you're sitting there going, whatever, you're going to miss out. You're going to get distracted, and you're not going to see it coming because the enemy is crafty and he is subtle. So, how do we have this Merry Christmas? How do we make sure that we're not getting distracted? How do we make sure we're making Jesus the priority during the Christmas season? How are we to be like Mary? Well, number one, you got to make a plan. You have to examine your calendar, examine your schedule, examine your lifestyle, and go, where am I being pulled away from Jesus? Where am I being distracted? And make a plan. Say, all right, this is where that's happening. I need to start saying no to these things. I need to start giving more time and space to Jesus. I got to have margin for me and my family to be with Jesus and not just experience that commercialization of Christmas. I got to waste less time on the parties and the gatherings and the shopping that just don't add that much value to my life. Maybe I got to do fewer things. Maybe I got to have a family meeting and say, okay, we're doing Christmas differently this year, guys. I know we've done it like this in the past however many years, and it's all been fun and good, but we've been getting distracted. We need to make Jesus the priority this year. Have that family meeting with your kids. They might be disappointed. I think that Jesus won't be disappointed if you make him a priority, though. So talk about it as a family. Do these things. Make Jesus the priority. Don't get distracted. Don't miss him at Christmas. Because he wants to be with you. He wants to be with us. He doesn't want us to just be pulled away by the world, by the enemy schemes, and just miss out on what he has for our lives. You know, there may be some of you here today that just really need work done by the Holy Spirit in your lives. There's hopelessness, there's loss, there's grief, there's sorrow, there's doubt, there's fear. And you're thinking, well, man, How am I going to deal with all that? Well, Jesus will do all that, but you got to give him the space. You got to give him the time. If you go, I've got all these issues, but I'm going to just keep doing the presence and all the other stuff. Okay. You're going to be neglecting your own spiritual needs and miss out on what Jesus wants to do in your own life. So make a plan. Say no to things. Have margin. Have a family meeting. And then maybe you'll have a Merry Christmas this year.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.